Yeah. Let's get him on the line right now. You know him from 21 Jump Street. You know him as Booker. Know him from A Night at the Roxbury. And what's your favorite song?
If Looks Could Kill.
If Looks Could Kill. Here he is. Now he is an artist. Let's talk to him right now. Richard Grieco. Richard, you're on?
Yeah, man, I'm online.
Musician as well, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
We're unaware of that, you know?
Jack of all trades.
You know, it's funny because you actually started as a model for Elite Modeling before acting.
That's surprising.
I need to know, what was the party scene like in the 80s modeling world?
That's kind of a weird thing. I was playing football in Connecticut, and then they picked me out of college to model, and I said, well, that sounds better than what I'm doing here now. So I modeled for 4 months and then kind of quit, and then just started doing theater. But the party scene back then was insane in New York.
Man, I wish I was one of your fingers back in the 90s.
Oh, it's funny.
No?
So how do you go from, you know, like you said, theater and modeling to 21 Jump Street?
I was doing theater in New York, and then I just came out to L.A. just to meet some agents out here and end up booking a gig the day I got off the plane and then booked another one. And next thing I know, I left all my stuff back in New York and just never went back. And 6 months later, the auditions came out for Booker for 21 Jump Street, and there was me amongst, you know, 1,000 other guys wanting the role, and came down to 3 guys, and I ended up getting it.
Mm. You know, I dated a girl that said that you were her cousin. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah,
yeah. The name Maggio ring a bell? Any last name Maggio?
Well, it seemed like every Italians, they're all related. I mean, yeah. It seems like we're all related somehow.
They're,
I mean,
just like the Puerto Rican.
I go home, go to New York. I have cousins that I don't even know. I mean, you know, I'm your 4th cousin from your mother's uncle's aunt. Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Well, it's funny because he showed me a picture of the girl, and I'm looking at this picture right now. It's a picture of her, and I swear this is a Richard Grieco cutout from back in 89.
Oh, great.
I think you had bigger tits, though.
Yeah.
Pecs. They weren't tits.
Oh, like
pecs.
All the girls you dated were gems, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Not you. We know that. Come on, guy. You're on a different level.
Yeah, I mean, well, I got to talk about that. When 21 Jump Street happens, all of a sudden, you're thrown into the spotlight. This is like your first major role. You're co-starring with Johnny Depp. Now, I had heard that by the time you came on the show... By the time you came on the show...
How does Johnny Depp make you think of taint?
Yeah. Oh, fag.
Anyway, by the time you came on the show, Johnny Depp was originally the star, and he was kind of pretty pissed off that he was in a 6-year contract, and he was having to turn down movie roles, and he kind of made it known around the set that he was very unhappy in this situation. Did you experience any of that while you were on the set with him?
Well, I think just the me being on the show and the unknowing of why I was on it by not just Johnny but by the rest of the cast. I mean, I remember the first time I met the cast. We did a table read, and basically, you know, I think Steve Williams said, "What the hell is this guy doing here?" And then basically it was supposed to be just one episode, and then Fox did this kind of campaign, that Grieco, Depp Grieco, was almost like a WWE campaign, you know, before the first show aired, and then I ended up staying on for the rest of the season.
Now, with that campaign, I heard that you got more fan mail before you even actually were on the show than anyone else on the show at that time.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, what kind of fan, like, what does that fan mail consist of? Like, what's the craziest letter or interaction that you've ever had with a fan at that time?
Oh, my God. Fan mail, I mean, you got a lot of probably underwear. You got a lot of interesting things. in letters.
What's an interesting thing?
He's so nonchalant about it. You know, underwear.
Well, you get people and women, especially just flying out to Vancouver just to, you know, find out where you are. You had a lot of those. You had a lot of. I mean, look at Jump Street when I got on it, and when it just was a big show, and then it just. And I was like, no one knew who the hell I was before I got on it, and all of a sudden, 3 months later, you can't go out your front door. You know, yeah. So it was kind of crazy.
Now, you said underwear. I mean, ever sniffing? I mean, were they
not granny panties, underwear, panties.
Well, back then, what was it? There was no thongs back then.
No, it was like bikini cut.
Yeah, I think it was bikini cut back then.
Now, you were getting more fan mail than Johnny Depp. And I, like you said, there must have been some kind of rivalry there. Did you guys end up, like, becoming friends? Did you hang out? Like, what was the vibe with you and Johnny?
We hung out a little bit. I mean, there was definitely a sensibility of a rivalry on set, just in the essence of the characters anyways, and it just fueled the writing for the writers, too. Mm-hmm. But we hung out a little bit. But to be honest with you, I didn't hang out with many of the cast members. I hung out with Peter more or less more than anyone else, but Johnny and I had some good times up there.
Well, you know, I'm just confused because, you know, I go to work every day in a regular job as well as this, and I start thinking, hey, I get together with my people very well. You know, we all hang out, we go to happy hour, we all chill, and there's always that one lone person that doesn't want to do anything. And we call them the dick. Would you think, like, Johnny Depp was the dick of 21 Jump Street?
Well, I wouldn't say he was the dick, but he definitely, there was times when he just kind of, I guess, didn't want to be there, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, that's why I was there.
Well, but do you think you were there to take his place in case he was to just take off?
I don't want to read into what they were thinking. I don't think they thought it would take off the way it did at all. I mean, it just took off like crazy. And from that point on, you know, episodes that were geared towards Johnny, I would be the person they would put in it. I think one of the shows was Talk Radio. And episodes was, so I was happy that he didn't want to do certain episodes. It got me to, you know, get involved with the cast more and get involved with the stories more.
So you wind up getting a spinoff.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more popular than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. At that point, you got to have the Hollywood ego. I mean, you're on probably the cover of People magazine and all those National Enquirers and whatnot. How much of that Hollywood ego do you get?
I never really was a Hollywood type of person anyway. I always dressed in like a leather jacket. I mean, I dressed like Booker before I even did Booker. You know, I mean, just the jeans and leather jacket, the headband, long jacket. I had long black jackets. And I mean, obviously, it does, you know, feed into your psyche a little bit. I mean, where you go to clubs and stuff and you just walk in and you go to places and you just walk in. Or you leave restaurants and not pay and go, oh, God, I should pay, shouldn't I? You know. So,
well, back then, though, what was the craziest party that you were part of? I mean, there's got to be one memory that sticks out in your mind, some crazy scene that you were just like, holy shit, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I think that'd be in Europe, in Paris, with going there and not realizing how big it was over there. And basically, pretty much, it was about 3,000 to 4,000 people found out I was at Notre Dame. We ended up closing down Notre Dame, and we had to run into a limo, and then we couldn't get out because they were shaking the car and stuff like that.
Wow.
But the craziest time I had was in New York. I was one of the first bartenders at the Palladium.
Palladium.
Wow. So the first things I saw at the Palladium, I mean, everything pales to what I saw there. You know, so.
It's like the Studio 54 of the 90s, the Palladium.
Yeah.
And we were just talking before you came on about if looks could kill. It won a couple of awards and whatnot. It wasn't a bad flick, but I remember David Letterman trashing it over and over and over again on his show. Why do you think there was so much hate from David Letterman?
Maybe because it might have been his favorite movie. He just didn't want to admit it.
I can see that.
Maybe subconsciously. You know how you always say, you did this, you did that, but you really didn't do it. It's usually the person that says that you did it that did it.
Yeah. Do you think maybe he might have had a man crush?
Maybe.
there was a in that movie, there was a character named Ariola. Was that an inside tit joke?
Yes, of course it was. It was funny because that guy was Ariola. That was a funny scene in the bedroom with a scorpion.
Did you get offered the lead role in Attack of the Killer Tomatoes versus the Green Squash?
No, I must have missed out on that one.
I actually read that in a magazine that he was offered the lead role in that movie that never happened. So then what was the craziest role that you ever pitched?
The craziest role that I didn't do?
Yeah.
Or the craziest role that I...
Give me both, what you did do and what you didn't do.
There was talks about me when with Speed... And I read the script, and I thought it was like Die Hard on a bus, and I didn't like it.
Mm. How much do you kick yourself now for that?
That worked out.
A little bit, but there's other things, you know, too. I mean, I took like a sabbatical, like 3 years off after Mobsters, just because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do one movie a year. I was kind of stuck in like that, I guess, how the actors were back in the 50s and stuff. And then turned down a lot of stuff and then realized, oh, maybe you're not supposed to do that.
In Mobsters, he played a Jew.
Yeah,
well,
actually,
Slater was the Italian.
Here's the irony of Mobsters, right? How many Italians were in the movie? Seriously. I was the only Italian in the movie because you had Michael Gambon played Maranzano. You had Anthony Quinn.
Yeah.
Played Ferenzano. You had Patrick Dempsey, who's Irish, playing Meyer Lansky. You had Christian Slater, who's, I don't know, he must be Irish. Yeah, Irish, playing Italian. You had Kostas Mandelar, who's Greek, playing
Italian. Who the
fuck
cast that movie?
And I'm the Italian playing Benny Siegel, the Jewish guy.
Who was the casting director?
It was Helen Keller. But
you're welcome for that setup.
So, along the same lines, how do you get involved as executive producer of the show on Showtime, Gigolos?
That's an idea I came up with. I was in Vegas for something. I figured what I was up there for, and then I was playing blackjack. Some guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, aren't you Richard Grieco?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Mind if I sit down?" I said, "No." And I'm like, playing blackjack, and he goes, "You want to get a real drink? Because the drinks here suck at the table." I said, "Sure." And I go, "So what's up, dude?" He goes, "Oh, nothing." I go, so I asked him, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm a dancer." I go, "Okay, what do you want to do with me?" You know. And he goes, "No, nothing. I just think you're cool and whatever." And I go, "So you're a dancer, like a stripper?" He goes, "Well, honestly, I'm a gigolo." And right in my head goes, "Wow, that's kind of cool." So my 3 days end up turning out to be 2 weeks up there because I end up meeting his friends and seeing what they did and how their nights were and how they dealt with clientels and what a secret society it is up there with that group. And the light bulb went off. I thought it'd be a great reality show. And at that time, I thought it'd be a great docudrama. But obviously, it turned into a funny, kind of goofy reality show. So that's how that came about.
Now, has anyone ever offered you money for sex?
Yeah.
Well, who would that be? Come on, spill the guts.
There's back in the day in New York, bartending.
So you're bartending, and what, some really hot chick comes up to you and she's like, hey, you're hot, let's go fuck, I'll give you a grand?
There's those, yeah, but just never did that kind
of
stuff.
So you never took any money for sex?
No.
Why not? That's a bucket list.
I know, that's another screw-up I made.
Can you imagine telling, like, in your back of your mind, you could tell your son when he's born, hey, son, one time someone gave me a grand to have sex with them, and you're from my lineage.
Yeah, great.
Aren't you proud?
Yeah. So, speaking of famous women, I heard some rumors here. I heard a rumor that you hooked up with Alyssa Milano after you were guest starring on Who's the Boss. True? Not true.
We just became friends.
With benefits?
No. Actually, Lisa, no. Nothing ever happened with her and I.
What about any of the Facts of Life cast?
No.
No?
No.
Not even Tootie?
Oh, I love Tootie.
No.
Tootie.
Hey, were you on there with David Spade? Was he on the same episode as you?
Well, no, what happened was they did a spinoff with Mindy Cohen called Big Apple Blues. It was me, Mindy Cohen, David Spade, and I forget the two other actors on it. Which didn't go, but
the first five months
I was in town. I mean, all
wow.
That stuff.
Was it true that Mindy Cohen used to bully David Spade?
She's pretty tough, Mindy is. So
that's a yes.
I mean, David's rough. 135 soaking wet.
Yeah.
She's 235. Normal.
I think that's a little heavy for Spade, 135. But he does get women. I give him that, man.
All right, come on. You got to tell us about this. This is what I heard. Some hot women that you've been with, Christina Applegate, back when she was, like, smoking hot.
She's still hot.
She is. She just, you know.
Yeah, she's cool.
That's a yes. Moving on.
All right. Yasmine Bleeth.
Well, yeah, with her for 3 years.
Really?
Was it during the crazy stage or the normal, I'm really hot?
Normal hedging towards nuts.
Nicole Eggert.
No, I just did a movie with Nicole.
I would love to be with her. I want details.
Disappointed.
Ginger Lynn, the porn star.
Nope.
Damn.
Tracy Lords.
I know Tracy. But that's it.
Oh. You know Tracy?
No, I just know her.
Well, were you surprised that after Night at the Roxbury that you weren't offered more high-profile roles?
I don't know, because it was weird, because I gained 25 pounds for that movie. And a lot of people watch it and go, oh, my God, is that what he looks like right now? And I thought it'd be funnier to play me, like 20 pounds heavier, just partying and hanging out and stuff like that, than looking the way I did, you know, which wasn't much different. And so I know Lorne Michaels and Amy Heckerling loved it, the idea. But I'm surprised they haven't done a Night at the Roxbury 2, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing so many sequels of movies that really sucked, and Night of the Rocker was goofy, funny. I mean, just, and it would still hold up today, just in the year 2013, a different club.
Yeah.
You know,
well, another film that you were part of that I have never heard of until recently, and I need to get a copy of this. I've been looking for it. It's called Point Doom. Here's the synopsis: a Hollywood talent agent's girlfriend thrusts him into a world of strip clubs, drugs, and deadly motorcycle gangs. And the stars are yourself in the lead,
right.
Andrew Dice Clay, Ice-T, Sebastian Bach, and Angie Everhart.
Why? I have not heard of this.
Yeah,
am I not watching this now?
It's a fun movie.
That's amazing.
It sounds fun.
It is fun. It's a fun movie.
What was it like shooting that?
I had a ball, especially with Andrew, because Dice, I mean, you might as well throw the lines out for the day, because they're going to be changed and they're going to be different, and we're going to make jokes, and he's going to do what he wants to do. That's what was great with working with Dice.
Now you were pretty upset that they didn't ask you to be part of the first 21 Jump Street movie. Now, we understand that you're going to be part of the second one. What can you tell us about your participation in the second one?
Well, they're talking about that now. I mean, it wasn't that I was upset. It was just kind of a strange thing that, you know, just for nostalgia part, that, you know, that the character of Booker, which was such a pivotal part of that show, wasn't on it, you know, but they went a different direction, and that was cool.
That you didn't get to wear a fake rubber nose.
Oh, yeah, right, I know. But the second one, and I know there's talks about me being in it right now, so we'll see.
So is this being filmed right now? Has it been shot already? What can you tell us?
No, they'll start filming that in September.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Have you gotten a script yet or what?
No, I haven't seen a script yet.
What do you think about all those Jersey Shore kids ripping off the Richard Grieco gimmick and making all this money with it?
Jersey Shore. I don't get it, man. Yeah, you're right. They did rip off all my garb and how I dressed.
They really did. I mean, I saw a picture of you. I'm like, that looks like Paulie D, only 10 years sooner.
Is this a strange fascination that America has with certain shows? I mean, I don't get. I guess people love train wrecks.
What kind of shows do you watch nowadays?
I watch ESPN a lot. Mm. And I watch Bio and A&E and a lot of sports stuff, though. I'm a sports nut.
Do you watch Honey Boo Boo?
What?
Do you watch
What the hell is that?
Honey Boo Boo Child. You don't watch that? That's reality right there. That's
good for you not watching.
Should
it,
be a yeah. competition right there for Gigolos.
Honey Boo Boo.
I love that he has no idea what that is.
I know.
So much more respect for you right now.
Yeah, I really. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your artwork and your painting. How'd you get into painting?
Well, actually, I've been painting for 23 years. So that's. And started off doing more or less impressionist stuff. And then it got to the point when I was in Montreal where I took a canvas and threw it on the ground because I was getting frustrated and started painting on the ground. And it just evolved from there. I mean, I more or less paint from the subtext of the subconscious, so it's not a literal point of view. And that gravitates towards people as far as, like, when you paint in that respect, it's almost like you're painting with emotions or using other things as a conduit for that emotion. When they see a piece, it's almost like they feel it's painted for them. So, and then I was doing a movie in Puerto Rico with Dennis Hopper, and Dennis saw a lot of my work. I mean, he basically said, "What the hell are you doing?" I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Why don't you show this? This is wonderful." You know? And I said, "I don't know. I just don't want to," you know, he goes, "We'll start showing it." Well, it took me about 7 years to figure it out. And then, started showing it, then it's kind of taken off from there, which has been wonderful.
Now, if you were to paint one chick nude in Hollywood, who would it be?
If I were to paint one chick nude in Hollywood, who would it be?
Yeah.
Probably my girlfriend Michelle.
Besides her, who else? Come on.
Come on. What is she must be right next to him. She's right there. God damn it.
Hold the hand.
No,
is it Holly Robinson?
Pete.
No, I know Holly too well.
No. Is it Charlotte Ray?
Who's Charlotte Ray?
This is Garrett from Facts of Life.
Yes. Oh, no. You know that painting. You bring this up because of the painting that sold for $1.9 million. What's her name?
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur?
He brought that up because he wants to have sex with Mrs. Garrett.
Oh, you want to have sex with Mrs. Garrett?
why not?
Yeah, he always had it.
Wasn't that somebody crazy?
What, the B. Arthur?
For $1.9 million.
Sex with Mrs. Garrett.
I never knew B. Arthur had such nice tits.
Neither did I.
No, but I mean, actually,
from Golden Girls.
He didn't paint her nude, though.
Well, yeah, why do you think Golden Girls had good ratings back in the day?
I didn't know.
He didn't paint her nude. That was just his interpretation of it, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, it's kind of ambiguous.
Kind of
I don't know if that's her that she was posing or it's his interpretation or what he does. Because if that's her, she was rocking.
How much did it go for? $1.9 million. What do your paintings go for?
They've sold for a lot. Honestly, they've sold between $7,900 and $46,000.
You make money when you die. That's when your paintings really go up.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, hopefully, the way I'm going now, I'll be, because I don't do it for the thing is, it's not a money thing for me. It's like someone wants a piece. Let's say hypothetically, someone wants a painting. Like, let's say Waterford Blue, and it's like $14,600. I mean, if they're so passionate about it and that involved with a piece, and the thing is, I don't do prints, so everything's an original. So once you buy a piece, it's just truly yours, and that keeps the value up. Because I've had offers to do prints for so many different companies that I just won't do them.
Mm-hmm.
I would work with the person because I think art is kind of arbitrary about what kind of price tag you put on it. It's just a price point, and if they want it that bad, you know, I'll work with them and stuff like that. So, and especially with commissions and things like that.
I want it really bad. Can you put a picture together for our studio?
Sure.
Let's do it.
What's the best piece of advice somebody's given Richard Grieco?
I think probably was maybe Dennis. Don't. Hey, Dennis Hopper, just...
Wear a rubber?
No, just basically do what you're doing. Do what you're doing, and, you know, you're doing right, and you're staying true to yourself. You know, don't... So.
Let's stay true to yourself right now. Play a game of F, marry, kill. You have to F one, you have to marry one, you have to kill one. Facts of Life Edition, Natalie, Joe, and Mrs. Garrett. You have to F one, marry one, kill one. Go ahead.
God. Mrs. Garrett did it with a candlestick. Oh, no, that's a different game, right?
Yeah, that's a totally different game.
Close.
Yeah, which one are you going to have sex with, Natalie, Joe, or Mrs. Garrett?
Joe.
So which one are you going to marry?
Probably Mrs. Garrett.
So you're going to kill Natalie?
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
Would it be like an accident?
Any which way.
If you want it to be.
Like you could do it with like an ice cube, like an icicle.
So you're gonna
like
hide an icicle
hanging
to
from
kill
a building,
Natalie, and, from the fact of life.
And then it would melt, and then no one would know.
Right.
If you could fight one person you had interactions with in your professional career, who would it be?
fight. I don't know if it'd be much of a fight. It'd be fun to fight. Fun to fight Mickey.
Mouse?
Or Rourke?
Huh? Rourke, not Mickey Mouse.
So, who is the one you were thinking of that you said it wouldn't be much of a fight?
Well, I was thinking Johnny, but, yeah.
Oh!
Wow.
What kind of strategy would you have against a Johnny Depp?
Just one punch, dude.
You think he's a pussy?
No, I know how to fight. Thai box for 11 years. It wouldn't take much.
Yeah, is it true you almost lost your eyesight in a boxing match?
Where did you hear that? I almost lost my eyesight in a boxing match?
Internet rumor. I heard it.
Or read it.
Must be true.
Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Exactly. It's got to be true.
Right?
You a UFC guy?
What's that?
Are you a UFC guy?
Big fan or no?
UFC?
UFC.
Ultimate Fighting.
Ultimate Fighting?
Oh, UFC. Yeah, I like Ultimate Fighting. A good friend of mine in Arizona does a lot of that stuff. I wish boxing would come around. I wish we'd get a heavyweight that was worth a damn, but
they can. Boxing's done.
Boxing's dead. I mean, boxing and horse racing. Even though the Kentucky Derby got 60 million viewers, but I don't think we're ever going to see another Triple Crown, you know. And as far as boxing, I mean, I don't know. Did you guys hear the things about the Mayweather fight? I mean, how many people watched that? Did anyone watch it?
Not many.
No. It did. It did a big gate. I think it did like close to a million buys.
Yeah.
Yeah, close to a million buys.
Really? Wow.
At $70 a pop.
Yeah, but it's a million. Okay, that's 60 million. But with 350 million in the United States and probably 20 million people that actually would have wanted to see that fight, it's not. So you got actually.
Boxing's dead.
It's done.
Yeah, they do those two Mayweather fights a year, and they gross about anywhere from 900 to 1.3.
Everybody wants to see him and Pacquiao, and that won't. It'll never happen.
There was a time
we wanted to see him and Pacquiao 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And
Floyd rather beat his wife than beat Pacquiao.
Well, Floyd's scared of Pacquiao.
No doubt.
I mean, it's just the whole thing where he wants Pacquiao to do blood tests and this and that. And that was
Now that Floyd lost, now that Pacquiao lost, I bet, you know, that he lost twice. I bet Floyd Mayweather will start now he'll want to fight.
Well, you said 3 years ago everyone wanted to see it. Now
yeah. He only fights people that are past their prime, Floyd Mayweather. No doubt.
And he does stick and move Mike Tyson punch out bullshit.
Yeah, well, I'm not knocking his technician. Like, he's a great boxing technician, but.
But it's a boring
sport. It's boring,
It's kind of like George St. Pierre in UFC.
Yeah.
It's very, very boring.
Yeah.
So, well, I think that's what's lacking in boxing.
Yeah, I miss good boxing.
It's the personality.
Yeah, I just met Mike Tyson the other night. He had a stand-up show. I don't know if you had a chance to check out his like Broadway show that he brought on the road. And that man, I mean, I remember growing up watching him, and what a difference it is, that vibe he had around him. And now there's no heavyweights. The Klitschko brothers?
The one. That he's just fighting bums.
Yeah, it's all bums and him.
I used to go see all the Tyson fights in Vegas, you know, and he's a cool guy. I like him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you know boxing's bad when your heavyweight champion's a white dude.
Yeah. And from Russia.
Very true. Yeah. Let's take some calls real quick here for Richard. We've got Sally from Texas. Sally, you're on the line.
Hi, Richard. I'm a huge fan. How are you?
Good, Sally. How you doing?
Good, thank you. I wanted to find out if it was true that you wrote a book of poetry called Fragments from a Dirty Ashtray, and if it ever got published, or where could we find it?
I did write a book called Fragments from a Dirty Ashtray. I've been dealing with different publishers on that, and that'll come out probably in the next year or so, because with the interpretation of my artwork, I thought I'd make it even a bigger book. And so there's about 600 poems in it. So it's all finished.
Wow.
It's just getting it out there now. And getting the right publisher.
Speaking of 600 pounds, did Richard Grieco ever go hogging?
Did what?
You ever go hogging, you know, with a heifer?
We call them Natalie's.
Oh, I think we all did, didn't we?
No.
Nope.
Only dimes, my friend.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New York. Brendan, you're on the line.
Yeah, I was just wondering how many STDs did you contract over the years?
You know, ironically enough, none.
Good for you, bro.
I got crabs from the Ritz-Carlton in New York. No lie.
Did you sit on the toilet?
Bottom line, no. I was at the Ritz-Carlton in New York. I was doing interviews there and laid on the which you never do. Took my clothes up, laid on top of the bed. And 2 days later, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And, yeah, that's the only thing I ever caught. It was from a freaking bed.
Did you shave your pubis for that?
Yeah,
you had a toothpick?
I've never had crabs. I'm intrigued.
No, there's something more of that. I
wish I had crabs.
See,
why not?
So what do you have to do with crabs? You have to shave your pubes?
You got to get this stuff. Remember, I'd put all over me and just... It was crazy. I couldn't go buy it. Had to have a friend go buy it. You know.
Could have been worse.
could have been worse.
What is that? Is that 21 Jump Street days?
It was after Jump Street. I was doing interviews for mobsters in New York.
And you go to set and you're like, hey, Costas, look what I got, and show them.
No.
Did you ever get tired of pussy?
Hell no.
All right, good for you.
No.
I get tired every night when she talks
to me. I mean, if you think about it, think about the girls that threw themselves at this dude back then.
Christina Applegate. Christina Applegate back then, we think she's like flawless. Give me one thing where you're just like, oh, God, Christina Applegate. There's got to be some kind of flaw. Was she a pain in the ass? Was she a nagger?
No, she was actually, I hate to
say it. Did she not know how to give a head? Is there something?
Pretty cool person. Yeah.
Let's go to Fran here in St. James. Fran, you got a question?
Hi. Keep your motherfucking scummy messages to yourself, okay? You little boneless cocksucker.
Okay.
Wow. What?
Oh, hostility.
What message did he leave her?
He didn't leave any message.
What did I leave?
I don't know. Fucking.
That's the girl who gave you crabs.
Apparently.
There you go.
Apparently. All right, let's go to another Scott from the Bronx in New York. Scott, you're on
great.
The line.
Yeah, you know, you were talking before about the Palladium and the Studio 54. Let me give you a name that did a ton of celebrity parties, and I have a lot of films at these parties. Bear Jones, does that ring a bell?
Bear Jones. Was that when it first opened up?
Kind of, yeah. He hung out with Andy Warhol and all that.
Yeah, all those guys. Andy Warhol, Calvin, Halston, all those guys were there. But being a bartender, we really weren't privy to like who was doing the parties and stuff, you know.
Wow.
But I remember Bell and Ian Schrader and all those guys. Yeah.
Right, because when Bear died, Lindsay Lohan showed up at one of his memorial parties.
Oh, wow.
And this guy was huge. You know, Baird was huge. I mean, you know. All the celebrities in New York know.
Lindsay Lohan was probably in our dad's nutsack at that point when that was going on.
I don't know. She showed up.
Crazy.
She what? What happened?
He just hung up.
It's ridiculous.
All right, well, Richard, what's going on now? Besides, you got gigolos, you got the art going on. How can people check out your art website?
Oh, they can go to GreekoArt.com.
So it's GRIECO. Art.com, GricoArt.com.
Yeah.
And you're on Twitter also. What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's Richard_Grieco.
And yeah, check it out. He's very very good with the fans, always answers everyone in a timely fashion, very fan interactive.
Does he follow? Does he follow people?
Do you follow people? Yeah, do you get those retweets and those follows?
Yeah, I do. I've gotten pretty good at it the past 6-7 months. It took me a while, but I've gotten used to it.
We just got a tweet right now. Does Christina Applegate like anal?
I have no idea.
Come on. You didn't try to slip it in the bum hole?
No.
Shame on you, Richard Grieco. Shame on you.
We just got another one. Does Yasmine Bleeth like anal?
I have no idea if she does or not.
That's code.
I got another one that said, I just watched Tracy Lords get anal on Twitter.
What are you guys watching?
All right, Richard Grieco, anything else you want to plug before we let you go?
No, that's it, guys. It's been fun.
We had a good time, man. A good time.
Thanks for the time.
All right, my pleasure.
All right, take care. Richard Grieco.